Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Brand new month. And with a brand new month, we have brand new resources available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I did a podcast today with Michael Behe. He is famous in scientific circles. He never sought fame. He wrote a book called Darwin's Black Box. And he was hoping his mother and a few of his friends and his nine kids would read it. But he had no idea that he was going to be a revolutionary. In Darwin's Black Box, he questioned evolutionary assumptions. And he was willing to do something that most people in the evolutionary community are not willing to do, which is to follow truth wherever it leads. And that is precisely what Michael Behe did. And not only did his mother read his book, not only did it become a textbook for his kids, but it launched him into worldwide fame. In fact, he is iconic today for the intelligent design movement. And to summarize intelligent design, I would simply say it's following truth wherever it leads. And what I love about Mike is he is just as humble today as he was when fame found him. He sought the world over, but he's just a down-to-earth, humble guy. And I think the reason that he became such a threat to the evolutionary community is that he was able to take this simple and explain it to people, or I should say the complex, and explain it to people in simple ways. And in Darwin's Black Box, what he did was he explained to people the problems with the evolutionary paradigm using a mousetrap. And thereafter, there was a whole cottage industry to try to take apart his argument. But he does the same thing in Revolutionary, and he really is a revolutionary. He does the same thing in Revolutionary with the flagellum. Now, that's a big word. A lot of people probably don't know what that is. But he uses the example of a motor boat engine to explain a flagellum. And he does so in such a way that whether you are an 8-year-old school child or an 80-year-old retired person, you can understand the argument equally. So again, he has mastered the art of taking the complex, make it simple and transferable. And he does it in such a winning way. He's got such a great attitude about him. And I love Mike Behe. And again, we did a podcast. You can find that if you subscribe to iTunes. It's coming up soon. I just did the podcast again today, so it's not available yet for consumption, but it will be soon. But it's another example of where I take some of the world's brightest minds, keenest thinkers, most significant people of the 21st century, and I bring them to you, not just in studio in terms of an interview on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but a dialogue. So you can kind of listen into the dialogue. It's a lot of fun. I not only talk about Mike and his family, but I talk about Mike and the whole evolutionary canard. Well, all of that is just prologue to saying that Revolutionary is a DVD. It's a film. And it's one of those films, it's probably like a broken record, but I mean, it's absolutely true. We search the world over, as it were, to find these resources that will really benefit you. And if you think about Revolutionary, there's no person that I'm talking to right now that should not have this DVD. It's fun to watch. It kind of shows Michael B. as a real person within the context of his family, not just as a scientist. But when you get done with this, you see the utter bankruptcy of Darwin's evolutionary hypothesis. And to that end, there's also another book that I came across that I thought, wow, this is something our constituents need to have. And it's Tom Bechtel's Darwin's House of Cards, because that's really what, if you watch Revolutionary and then you read this book, you realize that Darwinism, neo-Darwinism, is just a house of cards. The book itself is entertaining. It is provocative. And when you think about the author, I mean, this is not someone that fell off the last turnip truck that ran through town. This is a guy that really knows what he's talking about. He served as the Washington editor for Harper's. He was a contributing editor to Washington Monthly. He was a senior editor at the American Spectator, praised by Tom Wolfe as one of the most brilliant essayists, and he is the author of many, many books. So this is a phenomenal guy, great writer, an intoxicating book. And why these particular resources this month? Well, as many of you know, I came to faith in Christ by, first of all, looking at the issue of origins. And I often say how one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. If you feel like you're a function of random chance, that you arose from the primordial slime, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know you are created in the image of God and you're accountable to Him. A lot of people, of course, think that the moment you talk about the Darwinian evolution model as being faulty or broken, or, well, unscientific in an age of scientific enlightenment, they immediately think, yes, but how can every university professor be wrong? Well, not every university professor holds to the Darwinian schema, but that's the thought that goes through people's minds, as though professors somehow or other come to their task with a white lab coat on. No, everybody comes to their task with biases. We're human beings. And no different in the scientific community. And so there's this stakeholder interest that has to be maintained, and people end up walking lockstep, precisely when you're a professor and you want to have tenure in a university. There's also shoddy research, and this is what drives me crazy. It's shoddy research by university professors, and then it's passed on by journalists, and after a while, people start to believe the misinformation. Kenneth Miller is a great example of this. He took Michael B.'s mousetrap, and he tried to destroy the argument. Well, by the time you get done reading Kenneth Miller's work, your mind is spinning, and you end up thinking, if you don't know what all the issues are, you think, wow, Michael B. was wrong after all. But Michael B. was not wrong after all. In fact, what he did was he set up a straw man, and he knocked down the straw man. And this is what people do, and then it gets repeated over and over again. It's sort of like internet lies. They travel halfway around the world before truth has had a chance to put its boots on. Of course, there's also the cultural agenda. So you have a Dover case, and this talked about in Revolutionary. The Dover case is a case where you're simply asking as a school district to have people be able to question the evolutionary paradigm and allow truth to lead wherever it may. Well, what happens? Well, this becomes a trial. And you have a judge who presides over the trial. And how does he come up to speed in terms of how to deal with this issue? Well, he goes back to the 1960 film Inherit the Wind, which is a highly fictionalized telling of the Scopes Monkey Trial. It took place in the 1920s. And it presents Christians as bigoted fundamentalists and scientists that hold to the evolutionary paradigm as being open-minded. And the judge uses material from the ACLU. He cobbles together a legal opinion replete with factual errors. In other words, he takes the material out of the ACLU briefings or papers or documents. And those papers and documents have demonstrable errors. So rather than doing the work himself or even paraphrasing the work, he cobbles this together in his opinion, replete with, again, all the ACLU errors. And what does he get as a result of all of this? Well, he becomes a cult hero. He's lauded by the New York Times and Time Magazine. In fact, he was on the cover of Time Magazine as one of the world's most influential people in the category of scientists and thinkers. So there's a strong motivation sometimes to perpetuate the ruse. So whenever you think, look, this has to be right because this is taught in academia, remember, there's motivated blindness, the inability, as Dario Fernandez Moreira once said, to perceive inconvenient data. There's stakeholder interest, which is just as prevalent in the scientific community as it is in the humanities. There's shoddy research. And then there's a desire to sell a cultural agenda. And in this particular case, the cultural agenda is very pointed and sharp, which is to say, if we can get rid of God, we can live by the dictates of our own will. If there is no God, if there is no higher authority, we become the authority. And now truth is not determined by research or following the evidence wherever it leads, but rather it is determined by the size and scope of the latest lobby group. My daughter Christina is sitting in with me, and you've experienced this. I mean, there is this idea that when you're in the academy, you have to believe everything that's given to you, and we've lost this idea where we can question authority and follow evidence.
I think that's true. I think Faith probably, my little sister Faith, probably had a more accurate experience with this because she went to UNC Chapel Hill, where it was like, you know, you would have someone that was giving out flyers for a devotion right next to someone who is promoting abortions. She's like, oh, come here to get an abortion. And like all of the girls that came around the abortion booth would just boo at the girl that was handing out discipleship flyers or Christian fellowship group flyers. So if you disagreed with what they said, they shunned you. I mean, Faith even tried to open a door for someone, and she's like, why would you do that? I can open the door myself. Really upset because her idea is that I don't need other people to care for me, and you are imposing an agenda on me by doing it. I went to Wheaton College, where there was a little more of a, I was very well taught to critique what I, because I was a psychology major. I mean, a lot of what we did was critiquing what we were given and making sure that it was coming from a very verifiable source. So I think Faith has more accurate experience with that, but I have experienced that in the secular world to some degree.
And we are coming to station break. Remember the resources I talked about? I mean, these resources, I mean, they're like gold. They're like little gold nuggets available for those who support the ministry, the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copies on the web at equip.org. Or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants is always standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. I haven't forgotten the callers. We are going to go right to the callers as soon as we come back from the break. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Stay tuned. Please don't touch that dial.
In this case, the revolution has been televised. Revolutionary tells the story of Michael Behe's transformation from mild-mannered biochemist to orthodoxy challenging revolutionary. It also explores the rise of the broader intelligent design movement in biology, the attempt to silence supporters of intelligent design in federal court, and the eventual vindication of the ideas of Professor Behe and others during the last decade. It's time to think critically and stand up to the unscientific status quo. Are you ready to join Michael Behe and be a revolutionary? To receive your copy of the DVD, Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife, Aisha, committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was ultimately responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Don't miss Hank Hanegraaff's cover feature article, Sunni-Shia Split, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as promised, we're going to go directly to our phone callers. Do remember the resources available for those who support the ministry all this month, carefully selected and transformational. Check them out on the web at equip.org. Sitting in studio with me, my security blanket, my daughter, Christina Hanegraaff. And I had another transfusion today, and when I got my blood pressure taken, you'd think it'd be high, but it was 99 over 53. So the doctor said, make sure your wife is walking next to you when you walk to the car, because you may fall over. But it's incredible. When I come back into the office, God gives me the supernatural energy. I did a podcast, and now I'm doing a broadcast. But if I do fall over, you're the one that's going to be catching me.
Yeah, but it's okay. I'm strong.
Well, we get a lot of people hanging on. Let's go to the phone lines. Talk to Dave. David, he's a listener in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, David.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for taking my call. My question concerns a group called the Jerusalem Prayer Team International, headed up by a Dr. Mike Evans. I gave them some money once, and they've been sending me solicitations ever since, probably a few in the course of a month. And I noticed they're not part of ECFA. I'm wondering if they are efficient with their donations and if they go to the purposes for which they're intended.
Well, I cannot speak to the ethics of Michael Evans. The reason I don't do that, I may have my own personal opinion about it, but the reason I don't do that is that's not what we do at the Christian Research Institute. What I do is test what he says in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. He's a Christian Zionist who considers the Palestinians a tainted and brainwashed people. And this is not Muslims that he's talking about. He's talking about even the Christian Palestinians. And he's adamant in the belief that Palestine belongs exclusively to those who are racially and religiously Jewish. So when President George Bush demanded that Israel should freeze settlements and dismantle unauthorized outposts and end the daily humiliation of the Palestinian people, and not prejudiced final negotiations with the placements of walls and fences. And whatever your opinion is on that, he comes back and he says if America divides Jerusalem, there will be no forgiveness. America will tragically end up on the ash heap of history. And then he declares Bush to be under a curse. That kind of inflammatory insinuation on the part of Christian Zionists ought to raise questions in the minds of everyone who is a thinking Christian. Does the promise to Abraham, to your descendants I will give the land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, provide a rationale for ethnic cleansing? Does the Bible mandate Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the Jewish people? Is there truly a need to rebuild a temple and inflame the fires of Armageddon in the 21st century in light of Messiah's first century reminder that the time had come when true worshipers would no longer worship on a mountain in Samaria or a temple in Jerusalem? In fact, you could ask this question. Was the land the focus of our Lord, or is the Lord the locus of the land? Meaning, is Jesus the fulfillment of all the types and shadows that came before? And is it dangerous to go back to types and shadows when the ultimate fulfillment has come? And what about Galatians chapter 4, where Paul explicitly says, if you are in love with the Jerusalem below, a rough paraphrase, you're in bondage. It is the Jerusalem above that is free, and she is our mother. So the point of ethnic cleansing ought to be a point contested by Christians, not affirmed and promoted by Christians, particularly in light of the fact that Peter gets a vision of clean and unclean food. And here you have a Jew that's been asked to go see a Gentile, and he won't do it. And God intervenes. And Peter then humbly says, ah, now I understand that God does not show favoritism. So he had an ethnic bias and didn't understand that true Israel is not made up of a people, but it's made up of people from every language and nation and tongue that ultimately find their all in Messiah, who is prefigured in types and shadows and then comes in glory in the New Testament. And he becomes the second Adam that did what the first Adam could not do. So theologically, Michael Evans is off base, and it's, from my perspective, mind-blowing to see the way he distorts Scripture in order to come up with his paradigm. So he will say, for example, that a good proof for the pre-tribulational rapture, well, you find that in the Olivet Discourse, and he'll say, see, it's very, very clear here. Just read the Olivet Discourse, and he'll point you to verse, I think it's 38, where in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood comes and takes them all away. And that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Well, who are the ones taken? The ones taken in the flood are taken in judgment. So this verse would prove precisely the opposite of the point that he's attempting to make. But these people have no trouble whatsoever taking the Scriptures and using them as a pretext for whatever their odd predilections might be. So again, on a level of financial accountability, I can't speak for Michael Evans and his organization. That's not what we do at the Christian Research Institute. I'm sure there are others like ECFA that could speak to that issue. But from a theological perspective, he is not a trustworthy teacher. In fact, I would say he is a decidedly dangerous teacher within the body of Christ.
Okay. Thank you for your information. I do appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to David next. He's in Sarasota, Florida. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? I believe I spoke to you before.
Ah, well, it's nice to talk to you again.
The last conversation I had with you was about about evolution in the Book of Revelation, and you settled my issue, remember?
I don't remember, but I'm glad the issue was settled.
But anyway, Hank, my question for you, as we communicate within the vast time-space continuum that our Lord has prepared for us, as far as creation, I mean, my question for you, sir, is what about recapitulation is what the evolutionists are using to prove their theory today? I was just wondering if you could shed some light into what is really behind that, and as far as if there's any truth to it.
Well, there's no truth to it whatsoever, and it's very, very dangerous. A recapitulation, better known by the once popular evolutionary phrase, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. This is the notion, it sounds very scientific, it sounds very sophisticated, but it's just the notion that in the course of an embryo's development, which is known as ontogeny, the embryo repeats, that's where you get recapitulation from, repeats the evolutionary history of its species, that's where you get phylogeny from. So there you get the phrase, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. So at various points, an emerging human is a fish, and then it's a frog, and then finally, it's a fetus. And this was a theory championed by a German scientist named Ernst Haeckel, and it has been utterly discredited, particularly in today's age of scientific enlightenment. We know that the DNA for a fetus is not the DNA for a frog. The DNA for a frog is not the DNA for a fish. The DNA for a fetus or a frog or a fish, look, this is uniquely programmed DNA for reproduction after its own kind, which is precisely what we find in nature and precisely what we would expect. But here's the kicker. Ideas have consequences. And so you have, in The Dragons of Eden, you have Carl Sagan stating that determining when a fetus becomes human could play a major role in achieving an acceptable compromise in the abortion debate. So what is he saying? He's saying, well, if you abort early in the first trimester, you're aborting a fish or a frog, but you're not aborting a human being. Now, what you have here in Sagan's world, you have Roe v. Wade providing the legal framework for the slaughter of multiplied millions of creatures as opposed to children. So what is Sagan doing? He's doing the same thing that his protege now does, Neil deGrasse Tyson. He appeals to science fiction in order to validate whatever paradigm he's trying to validate. So he's now appealing to the science fiction of recapitulation in order to, in some way, support the idea that abortion is not killing an innocent human being, but rather some kind of a creature. Again, this is a great question because it's an example of ideas having consequences, and I'm glad you asked the question because this is the month that I want to get back to the origins debate by putting some fantastic resources in your hand. By the way, if you've watched Illustra Media, you get some kind of a sense of what you're getting with Revolutionary. Absolutely incredible, available for those who support the ministry all this month. We'll be back in just a moment with more answers to your questions and the quote of the day. We'll be right back.
In a brilliantly produced documentary film on DVD from the Discovery Institute titled Revolutionary, Professor Michael Behe, a distinguished biochemist and recognized leader in the intelligent design movement, pokes serious holes in Darwinism with trailblazing insights into irreducible complexity. You might be asking, what is irreducible complexity? It is a concept clearly explained in Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This DVD will show you exactly why Darwin's theory is well past its prime. To receive a copy of the DVD, Revolutionary, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. During the mid-20th century, African Americans who concluded that Christianity is the white man's religion often embraced the black supremacist cult Nation of Islam. Although Nation of Islam numbers have since declined, it retained some influence. To attract more educated followers, Nation of Islam scholar Wesley Muhammad has formulated new arguments to legitimize Nation of Islam's view of God. How should Christians respond? Find out in the article, Is the Black Man God? Challenging the Central Claim of the Nation of Islam by Jimmy Butts in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day has to do with the two books that I was talking about. I mean, the one book in the film Revolutionary. Again, you don't want to miss these resources. They're available for those who support the ministry all this month. But I was thinking in light of that, how Darwinism today is in much the same condition as Marxism was before its collapse. Of course, we're trying to revive it in the West. But its terminal condition cannot be successfully treated with medieval medications such as what I was talking about just before the break, punctuated equilibrium. I mean, this is against all science, and people in the scientific community know this. And it has been decried by luminaries like Stephen Jay Gould before he died. But the The point here is that we should not prop up the corpse of evolution when it's ready for a final fall, when it is, as mentioned by Tom Bechtel as the title of his book, A House of Cards, Darwin's House of Cards. That's exactly what it is. So you have Dr. David Berlinski. He's eloquent and he loves satire. And the quote of the day comes from Dr. David Berlinski. It is as follows. Says Berlinski, Darwin's theory of evolution is the last of the great 19th century mystery religions. And as we speak, it is now following Freudianism and Marxism into the nether regions. And I'm quite sure that Marx and Freud and Darwin are commiserating one with another in the dark dungeon where discarded gods gather. Well, that's delicious. Dr. David Berlinski. I love listening to him. I mean, whatever his opinions are, he's eloquent and he knows how to use satire. And I think this is the issue, Christina. You have insiders in the evolutionary community. They are fully aware of their theory's desperate condition. Because you think back to 19th century science, you'd have a fertilized human egg, and it was considered to be nothing more than a blob of gelatin or jello, unsophisticated. Now we know it's among the most ordered, structured identities in the known universe. So science has moved along. You stick with the old paradigm, and quite frankly, you ought to be dead, but the myth keeps getting perpetuated.
No, it's true. And I think that's something that has amazed me the more that I go up in the sciences and the discoveries that they make long the older you get, is that I think someone said this, or I heard it, about randomness is just order undiscovered. Like, there, we know, so you talked about Einstein the other day, I think, about how he said he probably knows about 1% or even less than that of the entire universe and how it functions. And from all of that data, we think we know so much. And yet, if we knew everything, we wouldn't be able to comprehend just how everything is just set in motion and ordered. I mean, like, you've talked about the position of the sun before. If we were any closer, we would fry. If we were any further, we would freeze. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important thing to recognize, and I think that's where faith comes in, is there is so much about this world that we don't know. And sometimes, I remember learning about in my apologetics class, I mean, we think science is so much about this is how it is and I've tested it, but you take faith to just walk out the door. You trust that science is true and that when you walk out the door, you're not going to fall into a pit. The door is going to open. There's going to be a sidewalk there. You trust with everything you do, even though it's kind of ridiculous that you do in a sense. Why should you? But I think that is something that I have continued. That's what strengthens my faith, is seeing so many times how science just proves how God is orderly and we have a God that is so creative and amazing.
Yes, indeed. Now, you just gave me credit for something that I did not say.
Oh, sorry.
Which is, I'm happy to take credit for it, but this was part of the homily on Sunday by Father Steve.
Oh, yeah.
At St. Nectarius, and he was explaining Einstein and saying that in the whole realm of that which could be known, Einstein would hardly dare say, I know 1%. And I think that is a very wise statement. If you look at the whole scope of what could be known, we know very little. When I was doing the podcast with Michael Behe, he's considered an expert in many, many fields, but he always qualifies himself when he gets into a field that isn't his specialty. You know, he's spent his time immersed in his own specialty. You get him outside that, well, he wants to qualify his statement. And that's being wise as well as being humble. because as Father Steve correctly said, the reality is that the more you know, the more you know how little you know in the whole scope of what could be known. Let's go back and take a another phone call. Doug in Walnut, California. Hi, Doug.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Great. I want to thank God for all of you, just, and I pray that your program and your help with your blood work and the health and as how you're passing it down to your daughter continue. Jesus said, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times to Peter, and at the end, he said, feed my people. That's exactly what you're doing, so praise God for you.
Bless you. Bless you. Thank you.
I had a quick question, but right before I go to that question, I want to just highlight on what you were saying. I've been listening to the program. It's awesome. You know, I gave an actual program out to some kids. It wasn't about Darwinism. It wasn't on Darwin, but it was a timeline as how the Earth was created. To make a long story short, the kids actually drew the timeline, you know, water, land, animals, us, basically. And I gave credit to those kids that actually filled in from their science book, of course, some narratives. Well, some of the kids got really smart, really intelligent, and they said, you know, hey, this really coincides with Genesis. The science books here, water, land, animals, us. So I gave extra, extra credit for that. And I wanted to let everyone know, as well as yourself, the Bible is actually an AR book, the historical writing. You can read that, receive points for it. It's not illegal to read that in the public schools. And when the kids did this, they noted that Moses, who wrote it, didn't have a carbon tetrachloride machine or any type of scientific methods of finding out how things happen, but it was given to him by God. So, wow, the first science book can literally be Genesis. Just wanted to ask that.
Well, Doug, you know, oftentimes I say that, you know, the Bible doesn't give us the details in terms of how things happened. If you want to find that out, you want to find that out in God's imprimatur in the universe that he created. It's kind of what Paul says, is eternal power, divine nature being understood through what has been made so that men are without excuse. But I'm sure you had a question.
Yes, I did. The question is, in Revelation, we've been going through the last year and a half preparing the kids for Revelation. I believe you have to prepare for Revelation. That means you have to read through the Bible to understand what Revelation is trying to culminate, trying to end. It could be really, if you can understand Harry Potter and all these other stories nowadays, you should be able to understand Revelation. No excuse is what the kids and I say today. No excuse. Thank you, Hollywood. So going into it, we got to chapter 7. We finished up to 10, so we're going to finish the other half in July. But we got through to chapter 8. Where the seven seals were finished, the seventh one was introducing the trumpets. And right before the trumpets were introduced, they, of course, had a sealing in chapter 7. The four angels held back the winds, and 144,000 were sealed. Right from 7 to 8, it talked about the 144,000 being sealed. We believe that to be those who are going to help those who are here on earth through the tribulation. And he turned around, John, the Revelator, turned around and saw then a bunch of people with white robes. It was said by the angel, you know who these are. They came from the great tribulation. We're trying to get a clarification on the 144,000 sealed and those who received their white robes from the great tribulation, if you would be so kind.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes I say, you know, once you concoct your paradigm, and then your paradigm ends up determining you. And what I would say at the very beginning of this, and you sound like an educator and a very smart guy, what I would say that you want to do is you have to go back and find out what Revelation is all about. And when you do, you find out that Revelation is very much like Romans or any other book in the New Testament. It's not written to you, it's written for you. What I mean by that is Romans is written for Roman Christians in a first century context. The same thing is true with Revelation. It's written to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Apostle John, because this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He's giving a message to John to give to the seven churches, and that message is be fruitful and faithful. You're going to suffer for a short time. Your vindication is an eternal vindication. So that historical context is about what's happening in a first century context. Now, it applies to us in that the same words, be fruitful and faithful, you're going to suffer for a short time, your vindication is an eternal vindication, applies to us as well. So I think it does everyone a great deal of good to go back and understand that the essence of Revelation is the unveiling of a bride. Another way of putting this is it is a wedding covenant from beginning to end. So it begins with seven love letters to a persecuted bride. The persecuted bride is indicative of true Israel. And then it continues with the noxious vision of a prostituted bride. In other words, this is apostate Israel. And what John does is he uses these graphic Old Testament pictures so that we can see the judgment of God written on a seven-sealed scroll, announced by seven angels with seven trumpets and depicted through seven plagues that befall a prostitute in bed with a beast. And then you have a conclusion with a perfected bride, and that's precisely what we're talking about when we talk about the 144,000. This is the great multitude. So just as John is told about a lion, he turns around and he sees a lamb, so he's told about 144,000. This is the great complement of God's people, the culmination of the pure bride carried over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem. I've written about this in various places, including the Apocalypse Code and the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Happy 4th. We're out of here for today. Thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of the DVD, Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.